Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Meet your expectations. Hallelujah. I pray that God will meet your expectations in Jesus' name. You know, I was once a bachelor. I don't know how many of you were aware. You're aware I was once a bachelor. And we landed on earth. We never had struggles. We just walked into the will of God. Hallelujah. Nobody walks into the will of God like that. If you have seen anyone who has a successful marriage, there's a story behind it. And you need to learn those stories so that you will not repeat the mistakes we made in the past. I can tell you we made mistakes. I look back and I can only thank God, because some of my friends were not that fortunate. And the reason why it was so was, I think it's just, I don't know. Praise God. But I can trace it to knowledge. Because if you are acquainted with a path, for example, if you were to travel to a location you've never been to, it makes sense to ask somebody who has been there before. Do you understand me? So that person can give you proper directions. I've had the opportunity of counseling married people. And I can tell you, one of the most difficult people to counsel and most difficult people to pastor are married people. They are problems. And you ask yourself, why are they still having the kind of problems they have? Except, of course, they had no opportunity of being taught. And so we want to start from the basics before we go into the ones that we're interested. Praise the Lord. I know some of you are the one that interests you. Go. I mean, will of God. Bawo mo se ma mo will of God. No, that will of God. But I'm not going to start tonight on will of God, so that you don't get confused. Can you appreciate Pastor D? You're welcome. Pastor, you're welcome. And Pastor Ogi, you're welcome. So we'll not start with will of God tonight. I will build my defense. Maybe tomorrow morning I'll talk about will of God. But tonight, no will of God. Amen. Amen. But what I'll be discussing will be will of God. But it will not be coined will of God. Amen. So let's start from the beginning of the beginning. When the beginning began. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis 2. Can we pick our thoughts from verse... Let's say from verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be what? Alone. It is not good for a man to be alone. That scripture makes us to understand that marriage was conceptualized by God. He said, I will make him and help meet for him. Praise God. That is the foundation on which I want us to start tonight. You cannot understand a product better than the person who manufactured it. I don't know whether I'm making sense. The person who manufactured it is the best person to go to and ask him about the product he made. We understand, therefore, that marriage is no, how will I put it, is not something that the committee of elders got together to devise. It was God that devised it. And he said this, it was he who said, it is not good. God said, it is not good. Now, let us look at why he said it is not good. Can we jump? I want to jump some scriptures. Praise the Lord. You will now know why it is not good. Verse 19 said, and out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he shall call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave name to all cattle, and to the fowls of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was no found an help meet for him. So, if you take verse 19 and 20, are you with me? 19 and 20, and back down to 18, it begins to make sense. Am I with you? So let's take it 19 to 20, then 18. And out of the ground, God Lord formed every beast of the field, and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he shall call them. And whatsoever Adam called them, called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave name to all cattle, to the fowls of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was no found an help meet for him. Verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. Then verse 21, I beg your pardon. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took out one of his ribs, closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from her, made he a woman, and brought her unto him, unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones. Now, let me stop here. Who told Adam that a bone was taken out of his side? Hello? Who told Adam? Remember, he was put to sleep. And upon waking up, he saw a creature he had never seen before in his life. And the next thing he said that came out of his mouth. See, picture as if you were in the garden that day. You were standing and you were watching it play itself out. And a man is waking out of a deep slumber. If you have ever been into a theater, operation theater, and you understand how it is to come out of a deep sleep. Praise God. He came out of a deep sleep, and what came out of his mouth, he said, this is now a flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. What kind of being was Adam? What kind of? Because this is a clue to discovering the will of God, which I will speak about later. But I just want to salivate your taste glands. You know, you understand me. He woke from sleep and saw her. I said, that is her. Your capacity. Now, this is more than prophetic. Praise the Lord. This is not a prophetic gift. This is more than a prophetic gift. Amen. This is a knowing that you just know. Say you follow me. You just know. This is that. Now, if you ask Brother Adam, how do you know that a bone was taken from your side? I don't know. Have anybody checked the number of ribs on his body? Have you checked any rib? Have you found that one rib is missing? All of them are complete. Then, where then did God take bone? Eh? You don't know. Then that means it was not bone that God took. God didn't take bone. Though. He took something else. Praise God. Now, go to Genesis chapter 5. Let us look at verse 1. This is not where I'm going to yet. Just give you Genesis 5, verse 1. Are you there? This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Verse 2. Please. The people who wrote this Bible don't understand English. Can you see what I'm saying? Go to verse 1. Please, hurry up. In the day that God created man, singular be, in the likeness of God made he him. How many people did he make? One person will make. Verse 2 now caused a problem. Verse 2 now said, male and female created them and blessed them and called their name Adam. When, in the day when they were created. Praise God. Praise God. Let me leave that mystery hanging. I will come there if God gives me permission to return there. What I want us to understand is that number one, Adam was not a lowly being. Yes, the Bible says it's not good for man to be alone. You have to understand the context in which man was alone. The Bible told us God made those animals and brought them to him to be named. And he must have brought them two by two. Are you with me? Male and female, he brought two by two. And you could imagine Adam looking at those animals coming and questions were going through his mind like, these are animals made in pairs. Why am I single? And God saw the thought of his heart, knowing one major factor. He had the responsibility of dressing the garden. He had a job to do. And so God said he provided an help. What did he provide? An help. Meat. That means suitable for him. The animals were supposed to help him with the activities in the garden, but they were not actually suitable to help him. So God had to provide somebody who could match his capacity to execute that work. Praise the Lord. I hope you are with me. So you had somebody who was compatible with Adam for the singular purpose of executing his God-given mandate. Not as though Adam was insufficient to have done that. Adam could easily have done that. Of course, before Eve was made, Adam was doing the work. Hallelujah. And we have no record that he complained to God that I'm lonely. But when he see God here, said it's not proper for him to be alone. But note this, the Bible said the day he was created, he made them male and female. So the question is, was Adam an hermaphrodite? Because he had said earlier on, exercise dominion, multiply and exercise dominion. How was Adam supposed to multiply if they were both within one man? So the person within that Adam, the first creation, was actually male and female. That was within them. Hello. I hope you are following me. But was it an hermaphrodite? It was not an hermaphrodite. Because when you look at God, they always use the pronoun he. I don't know whether I'm correct. Abby? They never refer to God as she. But do you know that everything in terms of your nature and my nature is inside of him? Yet it's not an hermaphrodite. His ability to birth things is what he has put in you. You are a reflection. So he made them in his own image. He himself carries the capacity of reproduction. I don't know if I'm making sense. So you find that the woman is actually that type of God that has the capacity to reproduce. However, you are not the only one that can reproduce. The earth can also reproduce. The earth is a type of a woman. You throw seed, the earth brings you harvest. You give a woman a seed, she gives you a baby. They are both the same. I hope I'm not putting any woman down. Praise God. So you understand why I said they were male and female created in them. So what is separated from Adam had always been there. He just took it out and put flesh and covered it and produced it. So when Adam woke up, instinctively he knew that this is my second part. Praise God. And so they had no problem. Praise the Lord. But we say we do not understand the mystery of marriage until we go to Ephesians 5. When Paul began to speak about the man and the woman. I don't know if you are conversant with that scripture. Do we need to go there? Let's go there. Praise the Lord. I'm trying to lay the foundation tonight. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's go to verse 30. I'll take the thought from 30. Where is Ephesians 5? Okay, let's take it from 32. Let's take it from 32. Ephesians 5 from 32. I'll come here later on. This is a great mystery. What was the mystery? The issue of marriage is a mystery. So when you go to Genesis, you don't understand what was playing out in that place. So Paul called it a mystery. And for hundreds of years, thousands of years, that mystery was locked up in God and in Adam. And nobody knew what was going on. It was in Ephesians that God unveiled what was playing out. Are you with me? And this is what Paul said. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Praise God. Verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as he loved himself. And the wife said that she referenced her husband. So what was playing out? When Adam stood, remember Adam in the 1 Corinthians, people said was a type of Christ. It was the first Adam, then we had a second Adam. And this second one is called the quickening spirit. And so we see a representation. Adam, wife. Jesus is church. Praise the Lord. So that's why you need to understand. You need to understand what led to this whole thing we are talking about here today. Before you as a man can come up and want to marry, we need to weigh you against a standard. We raise the standard and let you see how close to that standard are you. Because if you don't measure up to that standard, you may be doing violence to the principle that runs this institution. Amen. And Adam understood that. So when he saw the woman, Adam knew why the woman was given. So the prophetic typology between the second man and the church that will be to be birthed. And of course you understand, like I've said before, that Adam eating the fruit was not because he loved his wife. I don't know whether I need to explain that again. But for the sake of those who are here, let me say it again. The Bible said that Satan came into the garden and had a conversation with Eve. and they began to talk until a lied against God, deceived her, and made her to stretch her hand to take of the fruit and to eat. And the Bible said, and she gave to her husband with her. I used to think that Adam was very far away. I mean, we assume that this is the garden. Adam was in Egypt, Agbulu. So when he arrived in the evening, praise God, he said, my dear, with kisses and all this, something, this apple, I just tasted it, very, very sweet. Eat and try it. And the man said, this apple, it looks unbalanced. Don't worry, just eat it, my dear. And the man ate it. And then he now found that, I have died. No. Adam was with her. So from the beginning of the conversation to the end of the conversation, to the time the woman stretched her hands to eat of the fruit, to the time everything took place, Adam was listening to the whole conversation. Again, that is the principle about marriage. You will have to understand. It's a mystery. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Now you begin to understand why Ananias and Sapphira died together. You didn't hear me. Why do you think made Ananias and Sapphira to die together? It's a mystery. You two must discover. I hope we can talk about that later. Praise the Lord. However, the Bible told us in Romans chapter 8, Paul writing, telling us that, in Romans 8, it was saying that creation was subjected to death, not willingly, but by reason of him who had the authority to subject it to death. So, we understand that Adam deliberately ate the fruit. Again. Because everything you are seeing in the book of Genesis were actually the issue of a mystery playing itself out. Amen. That mystery you will not understand until you get to the book of Revelation. When the angels proclaim and say you have prevailed to take your power, your great power, and to reign again. So it's like Satan felt he was smart. And Adam played him into a trap. And he walked with his eyes open and entered the trap. It's just like if you play chess, sometimes you may have to give up your queen to gain a positional advantage. At the point you are losing your strongest piece on the board, the opponent will assume that, I've done you. I've nailed you. But after 20 moves, he will bite his finger and say, can we start the game again? Praise God. Satan baiting Adam, and Adam taking the bait was actually a bait for him, not the other way around. It was to give God reason to come into the earth. Because if Adam had not eaten that fruit, God would not have entered that conflict directly. In the first conflict, it was angelic. God was not involved. God could not fight. Because it would have been disproportionate use of force. I mean, how do you expect God to enter battle with Satan? He will say, this Ojoro, no. So he sent angels to fight. But you know that fight caused a lot of things, but God was looking for an excuse to fight. So Adam had an idea and ate the fruit. And Satan said, God has caught God. God catch God. But it was on the cross he realized he had made a bad mistake. Amen. So when Paul says a mystery, you now begin to understand that what God is playing out is something very, very complex and very, very grandiose. Hallelujah. It's a privilege to be part of that, and I trust God that God will help us in Jesus' name. So we understand, therefore, that this was instituted by God and it was not of man. Amen. So let us start our basic, this is basic tonight, like I said. Tomorrow, we'll go into the deeper matters of the law. Hallelujah. Hebrews 13 verse 4. One of the things we must understand about marriage is that the Bible says it is, the marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. This is the will of God, that anyone wanting to go into marriage has no right to defile the bed. Amen. This is God's standard. Now, we live in a time, we live in a generation where this is no longer acceptable. They say, no. How can I know you can give me baby if I don't test it? Say, you understand? A prophet came to me many years ago. He had problems with first marriage. That marriage had broken down. And so it was, and I think it was the issue of, I don't know what led to that problem, but it could have been childbearing issue. So he now found this lady, and he had been with her, like they had been cohabiting. And I said, man of God, why? So I wanted to know whether she can produce. So you are going to hell. Because it's acceptable amongst men. Now, I won't forget the story that I watched on Super Story. You know Super Story? Super Story. And that particular episode was based on a true life story. Dr. Gawan. I don't even remember that episode. Mommy remembers it. To cut the long story short, the man was, as a lecturer, I was always involved in having extramarital. He has a wife at home, but he will sleep with any girl in that school. Any girl his fancy catches, that girl is gone. If it was not possible, that man. So they told him one day that there is this girl in my class. One lecturer was conversing with me. This girl, I've tried this girl. My hand has not reached her. The girl is always dodging and everything. I was like, how? Why? Said the girl is brilliant. There's no reason for me to fail her. So there's nothing for me to use in trapping her. Doctor, go and say, send her. Is it not me? I will deal with the matter. To cut the long story short, Dr. Guan got the girl to a position and slept with her in an hotel. So after the whole episode, the girl got up and she began to cry. And cried. And I said, did you enjoy it? Me, I enjoyed it too. It's not enjoyment, don't worry. She now brought up pictures of several men. Say, every one of these men have slept with me, and all of them died within 7 days. God, I'm gone. So he ran, went to meet the uncle took him to meet one herbalist. Have a good thing, share. You have sinned against God and heart. The first person you have sinned against God is your wife, because you broke your marital vow. You know, when you go to altar, I said, I solemnly swear. Those were not mere words. They are dangerous words. Look, don't go there and talk anyhow. Did you not read the Bible says that every idle word a man shall say? When you say, I solemnly swear that I will stay with you and give myself only to thee. And you now turn around and say, baby, hey, Lord, I'm going. You have just killed yourself. So if you know your body cannot say, you are just freelance, please don't marry. Any case, you still die against yourself, any case. But he who marries and now does freelancing is more likely to die young. Have you read about those cigarette adverts? Smokers are not able to die young. You will die two times. You will die in this one, you die in the next one. You keep on dying until you die and there is nothing to die again. Just die. Because one of the greatest sin, is the sin of fornication and adultery. He says every other sin is without, but the sin of that fornication, you destroy your own soul. There is no sin that destroys the soul. You can lie, you can do everything, it's without. It will affect your flesh. It will affect your circumstances. Satan will resist you in many things. Are you with me? But there is still hope for you. But when you step into fornication, you are killing yourself. How did Balaam destroy Israel? You know, you remember he came up and was going to pronounce a curse upon Israel. And every time he stood up to curse them, God put a blessing on his lips. And then he turned around and said he was going. But he realized he did not go. Because we later learned that he taught Balak a wisdom. He said, you can't curse these people because they are blessed. Tell your neighbor you are blessed. My home screen, I used to write it, okay, I'm blessed above all curses. It is true, you are blessed. No weapon fashioned against you can prosper. Then any tongue that rises against you in judgment, you condemn it. It's a truth, eternal in the heavens. No demon can alter it. But the best way to kill Israel, he said, you can't kill Israel. The only best way to kill Israel is let God kill them himself. You can't marshal any demon from anywhere to take these guys out. Because their God, the Lord their God is strong, mighty to save. And the guy said, what can I do? He said, those are your beautiful girls. Send them to the camp. He made those girls enter the camp. And the brothers began to fornicate with them. God himself began to kill them. It was so bad that Moses had no antidote. Right before their eyes, God was killing people and they did not know what to do. Even Aaron did not know what to do. Until, remember that young man. What's his name again? Phinehas stood up, took the javelin, and killed that Jew and that Moabite. And that did the judgment. See, when you fornicate, it is God himself that will come and kill you. He won't say demon. So when you say, if God be for us, who can be against us? But if God be against you, who will be for you? Do you understand me? So the Bible says, it said, marriage is honorable in all. It's always good to go to the pulpit, altar, with honor. It is true we ask, is there anything between you that may forbid you? I say no. Angel and Satan say he's a liar. And he records he's a liar. So as not to create that platform of coming to tell lies. Because you're adding sin to sin. Praise God. Don't go near it. Keep the bed undefiled. A day will come, like I'm standing here today. If you are the one that has anointing, one day people will ask you, sir, share a taste, keto marry. I say, I have records. You say, no, sin doesn't matter. Sin. There's something called, it's not sin. We are only testing. Hallelujah. You start giving it names. So the Bible says it is honorable. It's honorable before God. It's honorable before angels. Have you finished the story of Dr. Guan? Let me finish the story of Dr. Guan. Dr. Guan had seen, the Bible said the wife was hot. And the Bible says, when Peter was writing, 2 Peter, he said, live with them with wisdom, so that your prayers be not hindered. There are many men that are living under a curse. You know who caused them? Their wives. Not that their wife pronounced curse, their wives just did not bless them. And they will be struggling under weight. When the woman calls, my husband, I said, why are you making noise? You don't know what to carry. Just tell God, God, this man is making my life miserable. Please, shut him down. They will shut him down. He can run to anywhere. A woman. She can bless you and she can kill you. She doesn't have to use knife or roller sonny. Oh Lord, this man is misbehaving. Call him to order. I'm giving people secret. That should not happen. Warmongers and adulterers, God will judge. So I beg us. The story behind that Guan thing is this. Eventually, they now went to another herbalist. Okay, it was the same herbalist. Come in there. The same herbalist. You know what happened? He now said, yes, this was another case that this particular girl that, when the guy did his consultation and called the consultation, he said, yeah, you have killed yourself. Said what? Said that girl was dedicated to a deity at birth. And one of the Ewo, taboos, that no man should touch her. And so every man that touched her, that deity comes around to kill them within 7 days. Said, but we all do it. I know this was what that man said, which struck a chord with me. He said, yes. Said, what is acceptable amongst men is not acceptable in the world of spirits. Spirits know that God hates it. They know it. That's why demons instigate us into sexual perversion and immorality. Because that's the best way to kill you. They have been trying to get you to do many things. They have not succeeded. But the best way to kill you is just get you to work against God. God himself will take care of you. It's a natural default position of God. It just takes that set. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, Abby. Because he giveth grace to the humble. And what does it do? But he resisted. Immediately God sees pride. His default response is resistance. So the default response of God to fornication and warmongers is judgment. He doesn't have time to be talking English. Praise God. So he, those spirits knew. Why is it acceptable amongst men? Because men do understand the dynamics and the workings of the spirit world. Why is it that even those who want power in the occult stay away from sex? Do you understand me? They want power, occultic power. They don't enter sex. They don't touch sex. So you that you want to handle spiritual realities, you are playing the place where angels don't go. I can't help you. God knows that I myself, I'm a weak person. Are you with me? So me, I have built all kinds of defensive mechanisms to save my own soul. Because God will not save you. Especially when your heart is bent on going in that direction. May God have mercy on us in Jesus' name. So the second thing that is the will of God is that your bed must be undefiled. There's no like, let us try it, whether it will work or not. Let us try it, whether you can be pregnant or not. Me, I do not. Somebody came to me today. She said, I'm four months pregnant. I said, I expect to be in your marriage. I can't be there. I can't be there. Because I can't just be there. Praise the Lord. If you do extramarital something before, me, I will not show my face. So. Don't get angry with me. I'm telling you my own now. Check, boy. Say, you not be angry. If you're angry, I'm not apologizing. I will not follow you. So that I will not be a partaker. When God is coming, say, who were those who were with him? You were there. No, Pastor, I was just doing Pastor. Pastor B, you are welcome. I was just, wow, I just said, I won't follow you. That's why in most churches we request pregnancy test before we join you. But I think it should be a day before the wedding. Then I want your bubba, only. Then I can say, I wrote your wedding, you go. Then I wrote your wedding, you bring a pregnancy test. Don't say, go. Between 8 and, wedding is 10 o'clock. Between 8 and 10, you must do it and bring the results. Praise God. I want your labor, science is in Koja, I will go later and so on. We can do it on Monday, and between Monday and Saturday, anything can happen. So to make sure that smart dweller, amen, Saturday morning result, fresh from the oven, test. Amen. But even then, so by sharing the day before, Charlie morning. I leave it to God and to your conscience. Praise God. But normally, it's something we ask for. Praise the Lord. Matthew 9:6. Let's look at Matthew 9:6. Is it Matthew 9:6? 19:6. Sorry. I was wondering too. 19:6. Let's take it from 5, please. 5 and 6. And he said, for this cause, they were asking him issues about marriage. Okay, let's take it from 1. Please, don't mind me. Okay, the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause, or for any reason? Praise God. Any reason. Any reason. A reason is, how can you cook this? Now, where's idea? Okay. You know, there are times when you have cooked that there was no enough salt. Praise God. Yes, now. Under this testament, I can divorce you. Ben, I'm going to look for the girl that can know how to add salt. Praise God. Look at him talking. God will expose your sins very soon. You're talking. Praise God. Or, listen, or, I said, put the television in channel. No, I don't want channels like that. Football, where they play football. Or CNN. I'm going to put the channel. I can divorce you for putting the channel. Benny. Any cause. Abis Tamutu. What do you mean of any cause? Any cause. Or I want 4 boys from you and you are producing 8 girls. Any cause. Any cause. Or it is girls I like, and you're giving me boys, is there any cause? Or my mother comes home, and you did not kneel down with your 2 legs on the ground, is there any cause? Praise God. Do you understand me? Verse 4. And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them what? Male and female. Marriage is not 1 male, 20 females, or 4 females. Marriage is not 1 male, 1 male. As we have now in the Western world. I read a story of what happened when Trump went for the first NATO meeting and the Finnish president was introducing his wife. His wife. And being turned around, he saw a man. And Trump just walked past him as if he didn't exist. Oh my, how they hated Trump. They hate him like, but they love shit better than Trump. Praise God. You may call Trump anything, but Trump said that marriage is 1 man, 1 wife. Not 2. I was listening to one radio program. One person said, polygamy is not okay. There are many sisters in church that are loafing. We don't know, share them. Don't go to hell. It's not worth it. Praise God. Let your heart be single. If you have problem with ojukokoro, you know, what's the English word for dukoko? I lie. Anti. You have anti. If you don't deal with it before marriage, it will kill you. Because I can tell you, you will always find more sisters in church than brothers who need a male. And the other is true. You will always find brothers, more brothers who have not found a sister, that you feel you can also help. Deal with this matter before you enter it. Because I can tell you, marriage will not solve your, will not deliver you from temptations. It doesn't deliver from temptations. Praise the Lord. Am I making sense? It doesn't deliver. It has never delivered. So if you don't know how to control yourself before marriage, I promise you, it will be worse to multiply it when you marry. So call, put yourself under control. Verse 5. And so Jesus Christ said this. For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife. One of the qualifications for a man to marry is, does he have the ability to cleave? They told me yesterday at work that, do I know that in this Nigeria, primary school students are marrying? I was like, in this Nigeria, I said, did I hear you right? I said, yeah, they pay 500 naira dowry. I don't even know. They say in Nigeria, I mean, I don't know. Primary school. The one that I heard of is that secondary school students are doing Yahoo Plus now. And they have their own flats. When I said in Odo, he said in Odoke, I should go to Elisha and go and see them, there are plenty. But this one I had just blew me out of the water. How can primary school be going into marriage and they are paid that? And some adults sat down there to collect dowry. He said, man, not boy. Everybody say man. It must be man. Not a child. I will speak more along that line. Because when I talk about the will of God, there's nothing, God did not make provision for a child to marry. There's no provision in the Bible for a child to marry. He must be a man. And he must be a fully developed woman. Oh, that from the age of 12, a girl is, her body is fully developed to receive seed, but she's not yet a woman. It takes time for her to become a woman. When she becomes a woman, all of us will know that this one is a woman. All the one you are all doing, you are not yet a woman. When you are a woman, we will know. Don't ask the pastor, what do you see? I will not tell you now. Praise God. You are, it's for cleaving. It's a bonding. They will cleave. It's a bonding. Some of you have done chemistry, have an idea of what they call covalent bonding. Ionic bonding. It's a bonding. It's not loose. Are you with me? And no wonder you find out that when a person marries, a couple marries, one goes to America and one stays in Nigeria. That is not marriage. Because there is no cleaving involved. You just did a social contract, but you have not cleaved. Oh, most often times, it does not work. It doesn't work. There's a cleaving involved. I'll say more along that, God helping us. And the two shall become one flesh. This again is a mystery. How two can be one flesh. Now, in the physical world, they are still very, very different. Like, if you look at my wife and myself, we are very different. The only thing that makes us is that we are both dark in color. Praise God. I said, praise God. Amen. But we are very different. Now, the being one is a mystery, and it can only be recognized in the realm of the spirit. Am I making sense? Because in the realm of the spirit, they recognize you when you are one. You now begin to understand when Paul was saying, hallelujah, when we're talking about authority issues in the church, about air covering and all these things that have separated us, and we have all broken and we have different splinter groups all over the world, he was speaking about the issue of authority. Praise God. In this community, there are things that we look for to know whether a woman is under authority. Praise God. Am I making sense? Motu, raise your hand up. She's not under authority. What am I looking for? A married ring. That tells me she's free. She's still under her father. Do you understand me? But when my wife comes to church and there is no ring on her, that tells you, if you don't know her, that maybe had a revision. You are creating confusion. Praise God. Because in their culture, there are things they wear that helps them to recognize who has an husband and who does not have an husband. And covering of head is one of those things. Their veils is what they use. So when a married woman comes into church without her veil to signify that she is married, then she's walking out of authority. You can't come around and say, I forgot it at home. Praise God. Am I making sense to you here? Because that's a very, very key issue that we must understand as we go forward. Praise the Lord. They shall be one flesh. And so when angels come around, in case you don't know, there are angels here this night. There are angels here. And they're beholding our order. That order is whether we are in order or we are out of order. When you are in order, it makes it easy for angels to minister to you. When there is confusion in the air, angels come. Paul said there's every evil work. That means instead of angels ministering, demons will step in. And all kinds of evil work will be perpetuated without you realizing. Because people have stepped out of due order. Praise the Lord. I hope you are following my drift. So, I want us to realize that these things have implications. They are not just put there because there is space in the book. Let us fill in this space. Hallelujah. The next, look at verse 6. Then look at what Jesus said in verse 6. Wherefore they are no more twine, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. I want to say this. When two people agree to marry one another, and they constituted authority by God, joins them together, it's as though God has joined them together. In the presence of God, that is a union. That becomes binding. Hallelujah. Not even God can break them. Do you understand? Not even God can break them. Because God will not break what he has joined. It's not his nature to do that. He won't do that. The one God has put together, let no man. Not even Satan can break them. I don't know how many of you listened to this Obey song that they did. It was about a couple that one person was trying to come into that marriage to scatter them. And every time he tried, he always met with a wall. If those two who have been joined together remain together, nothing on earth can break them. Provided the two make up their minds to stick together. But if one said, I'm not doing it again, the union can break. Even God cannot hold it together if one makes up his or her mind to break. So Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, if the unbelieving wants to go, let him depart. The other person is not bound anymore. That means he has used his hand to dissolve his or her old marriage. But it's not God's intention that the marriage should be dissolved. But either of them, it would only take either of them. Because when he said, I agree. He said, where two or three of you agree, as touching any matter, they shall stand. Just two or three. We are two. Then, Ecclesiastes said, a threefold cord is not easily broken. So when you bring in the third weakness into the marriage, it's difficult to break that thing. Praise the Lord. So it's something that you must realize, it's not a temporary arrangement. It's a life thing. And you'll be surprised that when you look at nature, God has given us examples all over. One of the creatures that God used as an example is the eagle. The eagle does not, it's not like a dog. An eagle keeps his mate for life. And you will understand why God used eagles as an example of divine character. Hallelujah. All those animals are a type of it. Amen. Now let's go on. I'm just laying this foundation tonight so that we can move on to something tomorrow. Praise God. Malachi chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. What is the purpose of marriage? Yes, he say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of their youth. When did God stand as a witness? When you were standing there to say, I do. It was a witness. When you were professing before God and men, it was a witness. Between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou art dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. Like I told us, when you make the vow and you share emblems or what they call this thing we call ring and some other things, Bible, what does it mean to share? Those are emblems of the covenant. It's a covenant, a binding covenant. She as a lawyer understands what they call binding covenant. Even a promise is a binding covenant. Do you know that when you stop a taxi and you say Ojaba, it says 50 naira and you enter, do you know that a contract has been sealed? If it gets to later guy and say drop, you can sue. It's actionable. Am I correct? Because he has broken covenant. A contract is a covenant. So when you say, with my body I deal with, with my goods I give you, I begin to answer again. Do my good? Okay. Just let me bring your family tomorrow so I can go through it. Praise God. And you now marry. And your wife said, darling, I want to use your phone. To marry a woman, you are breaking covenant. You have dealt treacherously. Praise God. Are you sure you want to still marry? Do you think you have capacity to marry? They dealt treasure. Say you dealt treasure with your companion and the wife of your corner. 15. 15. Before 16. There's no chapter. There's not about 16, bro Joshua. Okay. And did not he make one? Yet as he the residue of the Spirit. And wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. So the reason why God is interested in you marrying and marrying a woman or a man after his heart is because he's seeking godly seed. He's not just seeking any kind of seed. He's not seeking any kind. You don't understand. What one of the major reasons why the first humans were wiped out was because they were having affairs with fallen angels. I don't know how they did it. But the Bible said they had giants in those days. Praise God. That led to the flood. There were massive giants because of fallen spirits impregnating human beings. Somebody said Michael Jackson came from the dead to impregnate his wife. Because the baby looked like Michael Jackson. Things happen on earth. You do not understand. In the book, Peter spoke about angels, some demons that were kept under the chains of darkness, awaiting judgment. It's assumed, or it's presumed by theologians, that those could have been those spirits that came down and had sexual affairs with men. They bound them. They didn't want them to run. Because since they've learned the technology, they will do it again. And you understand? How spirits could come into this world and impregnate a woman? He said, Pastor, how? How did the Holy Ghost impregnate Mary? So it's possible. I don't say, Pastor. Holy Ghost did it. So it's possible. So fallen angels can do it. So don't say it's not possible. So those categories of spirits that rebelled, God bound them. When you broke with you, praise God. So what Satan is doing, rather than you physically birthing a child, you know, that is a giant, they impregnate you with wrong thoughts. Then go and do what you should not do. So take it to your spirit. Let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. Don't betray the covenant you enter into. Don't betray. Nothing should make you betray it. Every time you look at the opposite sex, you are betraying. When I mean look, you'll find out in the, I mean when you go out of your way and you start getting into an intimate relationship. Somebody was telling me yesterday, was it yesterday on our way to work? He said he went to preach somewhere and a lady came to him and said, Pastor, I have to confess. He said, there is no day she doesn't have extramarital sex in the office. And she's a church member. Very, very, very vibrant sister. They were shocked. In conscience, if you have a disease, let them help you cure it. The best way to cure it is to confess it. Okay. You are not comfortable with that. Praise the Lord. Okay. Proverbs 5. Why marriage? I'm just talking about why marriage. I hope to finish by 7:30. God helping us. Or should I take it to 8? Can we finish at 8? Eh? There are no questions today. You are not asking me questions today. As I am, I'm not taking questions today. I'm taking questions tomorrow evening. Is that okay? So that just here and here and here. Then let your mind frame. Frame the questions. Praise God. Now verse 1. I want this verse. Give me this verse 15. 15. Yeah, this is a very clear. I like this. I like this scripture. They drink waters out of their own cistern and running waters out of their own well. Praise God. Don't go to your neighbor's compound to go and drink water from his well. Praise God. Is he speaking of well here? Verse 16. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and the rivers of water in the streets. 17. Let them be only thy own, and not strangers with thee. 18. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. So we are not talking about wells there. Like conga, we are talking about your wife. Don't go to your neighbor's compound and say, let me enjoy his wife. His wickedness. What led to the destruction of many civilizations is this kind of behavior. But right now in Europe, there is something they do. They swap. Let me try your wife. You could get to try my wife. Oh, they are doing it. It's perversion. God said, let it be thine alone. Verse 19. Let her be as a loving eye and pleasant robe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. Praise God. Don't for any reason have a thought in your mind that you will have the permission to try out experiment with somebody else's wife. I find it very, very uncomfortable when you begin to greet somebody's wife and say, you know, you are very pretty. You are so sweet. Look at the way you are dressed. You are crossing your boundary. Please, if I find out, I will put together a disciplinary committee who will physically use koboko on your bonbon. Ah, don't say, but she's married now. No. Listen to me. Every sister is first and foremost a woman before she is a sister or a wife. You can use words to destroy a girl. They respond to words and touch. Men respond to sight. Abi? And food. That is why men, how many people have you found, how many sisters have you found or girls found that they were snared by love potion that they hate? Love potion does not catch a woman. It is man he catches. Because his direct access to his soul is his stomach. On what he did, on what he say, F4. Now what's the technology, F4 and... Praise God. But for a woman, you can undress a woman with words. And before you know it, she will give up for you. So brothers, please watch the way you talk to sisters. So they say, my dear sister, give me your hand now. Then check what my hand. But who is your sister now? Don't do shit. So very careful. Come here. Would you? Would Ah, sorry. That sister, man. Fine, God. The girl will not sleep. Even if she's married, she won't sleep. Not all. Not all. May God deliver you. We went for a program last year. Was it last year? This woman is older than she's in her 60s. At 60, pastor. 60-year-old. All her children have married their... A guy toasted her on Facebook. In fact, she was going to go and do it when God brought her back. She was saying that she, if they told her that she can do it, she said, Emike, woman of God, Yahweh pastor. Yahweh pastor. 60. And when that boy finished with her, her head was, okay, that real room. Yeah, okay, it's not me. It's not me. The Holy Ghost keep you. May you not follow the rest of anointed demons. I'm sorry for you. Praise God. Please. If you say, this is the wife I want to marry, you have no permission of heaven to now say this one I like at all. It's possible more. So the priest will ask you, have you made up your mind? Have you checked every other one? This is the one you want. You say, yes, I do. You are bound yourself. It's better to say, Pastor, Edro. There are still 4 levels. We will stop the wedding and allow you to go again. When you have found the one, go, come back. Because once you log in, you can't log out. If you find out the data is not good, you can't log out. Because we will take away the password and everything, you are logged in. Praise God. So you have to prayerfully and carefully make your choice. Because you cannot come in 10 years' time and say, look, listen to me. These all the sisters that they are tiny like do you think? 10 years. Can't be major the meta. Blues. It's not their fault. It's their nature. Maybe 1 in 100 will maintain their figure for all life. Even after giving birth to 20, they will still be as pelenga as they are. But it's 1 in 100. If you are fortunate to marry the one that is pelenga, by the time she has finished, it's like this television. Is your cross? I'm a manager, praise God. But you cannot begin to wish her dead.
No,
there's that secret prayer you will pray, Lord. People do it. God will help you. Love her. Always remain ravished, always with her. There is no permission to change goalposts. Praise the Lord. Now, let me quickly finish it tonight on the prohibitions. There are people you cannot marry by law. When I mean by law of the of God, by law of the country, sir? And by the law of the Spirit, you are not allowed to marry this set of people. Praise the Lord. Number one person. Leviticus 18:6-18. Leviticus. Let's go to the book of Leviticus. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. God says, I am the Lord. I'm giving you this instruction as a commandment. Now, in the Gentile world, I beg your pardon, in the Gentile world, there were no restrictions. It's just like a dog. Have you seen dogs? Do you guys have dogs at home? A dog does not know mother. He does not know sister. All is fear. Praise the Lord. But God put a restriction. None of you shall approach to any that is of near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. Verse 7. The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shall thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. So you cannot marry your mom. Can't marry your sisters. The nakedness of thy father's wife shall thou not uncover. If your father has a, let us assume you have a stepmother, you have no right to go near her. What led to the fall of Reuben? Reuben was the firstborn of Israel, Jacob. And probably it was, let's assume, it was quite older than the last concubine of his father. And maybe, or maybe they were even of the same age. Who knows? Praise the Lord. But somehow, Reuben and that young girl developed an unholy relationship, which led to them having sexual relationships. And the father got to know, and he ushered the curse. He said, Reuben, you are my firstborn. He said, but you went to my bed, but you never prevailed. So, for any reason, you can have mother-in-law, you can have sister-in-law. Please don't cross that boundary. It's not acceptable. Continue. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or the daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even thy nakedness thou shalt not uncover. Next verse. The nakedness of thy son's daughter, or of thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover, for theirs is thy own nakedness. Next verse. The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister. She is thy father's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife. She is thy aunt. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are near kinswomen. It is wickedness. So God gave them those set of rules. And they are still binding to today. They have not changed. Hallelujah. And so sometimes you are asked to do a blood type of DNA. We have had stories of people whoever found out that they were cousins or somewhere, can't marry your cousin, can't marry, not acceptable. Praise God. That's one. The other one you cannot marry. Amen. Exodus 34 verse 18. Exodus 34 verse 18. Is it 34 verse 18? No. It's not this. Praise the Lord. I didn't get this. No, it's not. Huh? Praise God. Okay, let's look at Leviticus. Okay, not Leviticus. Let's look at Matthew 5:32. While I check for this other word. For the sake of fornication. I say to you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committed adultery. Do you understand that? Can we go over it again? Whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication. Who commits fornication? Who commits fornication? You're married. You're married, commits fornication. So you cannot put your wife away because of fornication. That means maybe before you even got married, you found out it was fornication. You can break. Now, you need to understand that from the perspective of what happened to Mary and Joseph. The Bible says she was espoused. That means she was in courtship with Joseph to be married to him later on. And they found her to be with child. And then they called her and said, Sister Mary, this is the way they your stomach. How far? Say, Holy Ghost. Put it there. Have you had the Holy Ghost impregnating a woman before? You know that's crap. And the law said that any woman that is caught fornicating should be stoned to death. But the Bible says, Joseph being a godly man, did not want to do that. So went to put her away privately. Just package it and push her away. But the angel came to him that night. So that was what was there. Before, because as far as we were concerned, they were already married. They just needed a formal program for the whole world to now know they are married. Praise the Lord. So if at that stage he did not know, or later they got married and you now say, I'm not marrying you again, because for every course, remember every course program, he can't put her away anymore. Because the time when he ought to have put her away, he didn't put her away. Praise God. Now say, if you put her away after you have married her, you cause her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced also committed adultery. So you are not allowed to marry a person who commits or who has been put away, who's an adulterous relationship. Why again? Malachi, because he wants godly seed. You cannot afford to contaminate what you will produce for God. You have to be careful. Because, see, when sin enters the bloodline, it attracts fallen spirits. And those fallen spirits have legal rights to hold on to that bloodline and wreak havoc in that bloodline. I don't have the time to go into all this tonight to show you from the Old Testament. When God said that the Moabite cannot enter his house, I think it's the third generation. Why was that so? Because we were produced out of incense. The father impregnated the daughter. And that generation, God said to their 10th generation, they must never enter my house. So there's no way they could have been saved. There's no salvation. Because instead you go to Jerusalem or come into the temple, you can't have salvation. I don't know whether I'm making sense to you. You can't have salvation. Because that bloodline was already contaminated with sin. And sin had drawn fallen spirits into that family line. And you find out that There's a way this thing propagates itself. This generation has committed incense. This generation will continue. Now, it's for me, it's to the 10th generation. Now, this person repeats it. It is to her 10th generation. Can you see how that thing is going? Now, to the next one, it is to her 10th generation. Can you see that thing will keep on going forever? If someone does not stand and break it. So you now understand the reason why you have to visit your lineage and deal with generational curses. Because they have a way of affecting you. Because they are brought in through perversions into that bloodline. Praise the Lord. Can we continue? There's something I want to show you, but maybe I'll do that tomorrow. God help me. But you know that also in the Word of God, that's what I'll be trying to look for, that idol worship thing. God gave specific instructions. But let me just round up by this with this story. Remember the day Abraham wanted a wife for Isaac? He gave specific instructions. Now, Abraham had no book of the law. But he had an insight to the operation of the Spirit. He called the servant and said, "Don't swear to me that you will not take a wife from the daughters of this land. These idol worshippers, these people that don't know God, don't take a wife from their midst." Praise the Lord. How many of you know that there are characteristics of tribes in the earth? For example, when you hear Ondo, what comes to your mind? Pride and arrogance. Is that not so? When you hear about Akure, what comes to your mind? Eh? Day student. Laziness. I don't know that one. But this one, I can tell you, is very, very difficult for an Akure lady to stay in the home. It's a generational curse. They have not dealt with. To marry a Benin girl, that was a snow brother. All those areas have issues. And so, Abraham told the servant, "Go to my own people, where there is still this knowledge of the fear of God." Remember when he came out, was migrating out of Paran, his uncle. Remember his uncle? They had an idea. They all migrated with him. When God said, "Come out from your people," they followed him. So they had an idea. Praise God. They go and pick a wife for my son from amongst them. Jacob did the same for his is it Jacob? Isaac did the same. He told his son Esau, don't marry here. But Esau, wanting to spite his father, married two of those men, and that thing stained the father. If you understand why it is so, God gave Israel a charge. They don't marry from those tribes that I'm driving you away. I'm driving out from you, from before you. Said because they will turn your hearts to worship fallen spirits. You don't know the power of a woman. But my dear, let us go to church. Jacob, let's go to church. I'm not going to church. Just come, my God is good. Can you see the God, the way he's painted? Before you knew it, you two will fall in. A whole mighty Solomon. Brother Solomon. How many of you know Brother Solomon? The handsomest of them all. Anointed with wisdom. All on Parishet, glory Solomon, no Parishet. Because his senior brother, Absalom, was so handsome that guests were tripping for him. So now imagine his brother Solomon that was born for Bathsheba. Bathsheba that fell a whole cherubim called David. Then you know how handsome Solomon was. David was a cherubim. But Bathsheba brought him down. David had been seeing girls, but when she saw Bathsheba. Ah! No, no, parishioners. The story, like we say, is history. The Bible says his wife turned his heart. That was the thing God said, don't do. So you cannot marry somebody who is an unbeliever. So that takes me to 1 Corinthians 6. Let us close there. 1 Corinthians 6. Where it said, what accord? You know the scripture, okay? Give me the right verse. It's been a long time I used my Bible like this. I'm used to my tab. Is it 1 Corinthians? Okay. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? In our shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of what? An alloy. Say, God forbid. Say, every time. See, one of the problems, like I said about sex, is this. Anybody you have a sexual contact with in the realm of the spirit, you are one. Sex is the seal to the covenant you cut in public. And if you don't cut it in public, but you still went ahead to have it, it's a covenant. So if you have had sex with so many people, any of them can activate a problem against you. Because by reason of that contact. Have you heard of women, when they want to pray for their children, they go naked. They say, if this child did not suck my breast, because there's a covenant with that breast. You don't understand. You're laughing. I'm giving you secrets of serious demonic power. The mother will say, this girl sucked my breast. Therefore, I will pass it. Nothing can change. Nothing can move that prayer. It will land. Because there's a covenant. Praise God. Please go and, if your mother is still alive, go and bless her. I say, mommy, I thank you. So that she can bless you. Because you sucked that breast. You spent 9 months in her womb. And drank breast milk. Your mother must bless you. Because if she does not bless you, anything not sherry? Praise the Lord. So sex is a covenant. You have cut a covenant. Once you cut that covenant, that's why many men, look, why is it that our leaders are confused? The Bible says, he that wants to lead a church must be a husband of one. Why is it that America, as adulterous and as perverted as they are, still demand that their president should be a man of one? Because they know that when a man is a man of many women, his head cannot balance. His demons will be confusing him here and there. So you are saying Nigeria is not growing. Ah, it's on your Facebook, what am I? Nigeria is not going anywhere. All of them are husband of more than one wife. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of an alloy? God forbid. Verse 16. What? Know ye not that he who is joined to an alloy, just what I said, is one body. Once you have sexual contact with anybody, you are bound. It will take an anointing to break that yoke. For two says he shall be one flesh. Verse 17. But he that is joined to the Lord is one. You are joined to another Lord, you are one flesh. But when you join to the Lord, you are one spirit. Now it is adultery of another kind when you turn your way and you go and have sexual intercourse with another person. Now that one we know, but it's even worse when you now pay homage to a fallen spirit, which was what Israel was guilty of most of the time. So when I hear people say that Uzziah was a man that married an harlot, Uzziah did not marry an harlot. He married the daughter of Alot. And Israel was now Alot. Am I making sense? Because that is anti-God's word for him to have married an Alot. You can't marry an Alot and be a prophet. It's not possible. Because God would have broken his own word. It was symbolic. It was the daughter of Alot. Do you want me to show you? Do we go there? Okay, let's go to Uzziah. Give me Uzziah. And is Uzziah 1? Uzziah should be Uzziah 1. Uzziah chapter 1. Where is Uzziah now? Uzziah, where are you? Have I missed my Uzziah? Do you know where it is? Okay. And the Lord said to Uzziah, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms. Not a woman of whoredoms. A wife of whoredoms. And children of whoredoms. For the land has committed great. So was the woman an Alot? No. She was a child of Israel. But she was being picked from among the people who were committed great whoredom. Departed. What was the whoredom? They departed from the Lord. So it's not that they were fornicating around town. They just simply did what? Departed from the Lord. And they were worshipping fallen angels. So don't use him as an example. Maybe a prophet can marry an Alot, which I can marry. You are playing with a fire. Please don't go there at all. Amen. So get back to 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6, let's round up there. And we'll pick it up tomorrow, God helping us. 1 Corinthians 6 that we came from. It says, flee fornication. Like I said before, every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. Hallelujah. Is there another verse after that? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? 20. Please hurry up. About it on. And people here. So if there was reverse after, you are wasting my time. Okay. So he said, you are born with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit which are God. Amen. So you owe it to God to make sure that this your body is preserved. Praise God. This your body is what? Preserved. Therefore, God only permits you to share that body of yours with another child of his. Am I making sense? You can only share it with another child. And just one child, not two childies. Praise God. Only one. So you now begin to understand when the Bible says, he that findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and he obtaineth favor from the Lord. God is happy when you find the right person. And what does he do? He rewards you with favor. But when you find the wrong person, God will just do as if he didn't see you. Are you with me? So we'll talk about how to do the finding tomorrow. God will help us in Jesus' name. Can we bow our heads to pray? Father, help us. I want to pray to God tonight. He paid for you with a price. It cost him something. Said you were bought with a price. Make up, pray and ask, and tell the Lord, I will keep this body you have given me. The body you have is a loan. The body is not yours. You are just a custodian of the body. There is an account you will give how you use this body. It is not your body. Tell the Lord to help you to keep this body he gave you. This body borrowed you. This body is not meant to be used anyhow. The Bible says the body is the Lord's. Therefore glorify him in your body. You have to glorify him in your body. You owe him that much to glorify him in your body. You don't have right to use it anyhow.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.